You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, Pleasant, good afternoon. Welcome in. We have reached Tuesday. Not that that was a big accomplishment, but we thought we would note it anyway. A lot happening in our little world, and we will share with you a number of headlines. A guest is waiting, so let's not waste another moment and talk about what is in the news. And with the college football playoff compromise rejected, the SEC will crush the meek. Is that a big surprise?
No.
Do we need headlines to tell us what we already know? Anyway, let's move on. The Knight Commission. That's not named after Bob Knight, is it?
No, they throw chairs.
Thank goodness. Well, the Knight Commission urges the NCAA to immediately implement gender racial equality measures. No dissent, it's passed. Keeping schools out of NIL dealings, open doors for boosters. Shocking. Anyway, we begin with Ralph Russo, who covers college football for the Associated. So what's wrong with me today?
I knew
I shouldn't have had that final martini right before the show. Anyway, Ralph Russo joining us. I've seen Ralph in many a press box, and he looked like he needed a martini, but he was sober. Ralph, great to have you on. Good afternoon. What a world we live in right now in college football.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Hey, there's actually going to be some games played, I hear. Some schedules were released earlier today. So that was heartening.
This is a big day for that. The networks are all having their big soirees in New York. So as part of that, they release the schedules, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But, yeah, there are some starting times for games and networks affiliation. So it's no big surprise. The opening weekend, the big game of the weekend, is going to be at the Horseshoe when Notre Dame comes to town under a first-year coach. What a baptism under fire.
Oh, yeah. We are going to get an interesting view of what Notre Dame under Marcus Freeman looks like when it has to roll in to face Ohio State. My guess is we will probably have some really enormous overreactions, really, really enormous overreactions for what goes down in Columbus that night.
Well, not to sound like a hater, but he's already 0-1, so he doesn't need to go 0-2. We had a chance to talk to him 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, Ralph, at the draft. And I know you probably know him, but really an impressive guy. Whether that means he can follow Brian Kelly's footsteps remain to be seen, but he is very impressive.
Oh, without question. You could absolutely see why his career was on the trajectory it was. Now, it got there in a big old hurry. And Notre Dame is about as tough a job as there is in the country. So you don't know if you can do the job until you have the job. That's just the way it works in college football. But, again, you can see why he had the characteristics that somebody would say, I'm going to take a chance on him. But, yeah, oh, brother. Here you go. Here's Notre Dame. And good luck with it. And, by the way, go play the Buckeyes in Columbus and see how that works for your first game.
Ralph, we can't escape this NIL story, and as much as we would like to, and as much as the games, which are starting in 3 months and change, are about to commence. But let's get into it right now. And what is happening, and what is the next big move?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a next big move. I think that we saw what felt like something of a big move last week, when the NCAA didn't make a rule. It didn't change a rule. It basically just said, hey, we got rules and we're going to try to enforce them. Or we would like them to be enforced when it comes to pay for play, when it comes to boosters being involved in recruiting. I think that's sort of where they feel like if we can draw a line there, we can maybe get our arms around some of this, the inappropriate activity we want in NIL. We don't want to stop NIL, but we want to stop what we feel like is the what NIL wasn't really supposed to be, which was basically recruits getting offers from boosters to attend schools, right? I mean, that's essentially what we're trying to clamp down on. You know, I question whether it's even possible, because you're talking about third parties that have no obligation to be forthright with the NCAA. So the NCAA wants to retroactively go back and, you know, start enforcing some things and cracking down. You know, good luck with that. They're probably better off looking forward. But I also think it's interesting, you know, you mentioned the headline story that I wrote. I mean, I think part of the reason why we're in this space is because there was so much worry about when they were sort of trying to put together some rules about NIL that, oh, we don't want the schools to be involved because that could make it, that could be a slippery slope toward the athletes being treated as employees, and then the schools would be making the deals or arranging the deals, and that's not that far away from the schools just paying them outright. And there was so much emphasis on trying to sort of build a firewall between the schools and the athletes, it just allowed boosters and these collectives to just waltz right in and say, okay, yeah, we'll fill that space. We'll be the ones who will be the brokers and pay the players. And in some ways, it's just so predictable that they've gotten into this space and you know, gotten into these complications.
On the booster front, Ralph, which you referenced in relation to your article, I know what the schools say, but we all believe very strongly, it's hard not to believe, that boosters are more involved now than they've been in generations. How do you curtail that?
Yeah, again, I don't know, other than you try to take some control back. And even, you know, listen, I think ultimately the road might lead to actually being the ones who pay the players. Now, again, that's a dicey road, and you're talking about making the players employees. But I just do wonder if there's a way where, if you want to take these boosters out, listen, all boosters are not inherently bad people. I think we use that word as a pejorative, and it probably shouldn't be. But what they are is lacking accountability, right? Like, I mean, you know, Auburn's a great example. Like, the boosters can kind of do whatever they want. Nobody's firing a booster. And I think when you allow boosters and donors to sort of step into these spaces, they have no accountability to coaches and athletic directors and things like that. And that's where it becomes real complicated. So if you're the schools or the NCAA or whatever you want to, if you are in college sports, if you want to keep people without accountability outside of it, you have to make decisions to take responsibility for how these players are being compensated. You have to be more involved and not worry about slippery slopes and things like that, as opposed to being less involved and allowing somebody else to pay them. If it's really a problem, if you feel like it's a problem, these boosters being involved, then you're going to have to get involved yourself.
Ralph, before you go, there's been a lot of comments made recently, and we talked to a number of these coaches last week. They'll be available again in a couple of weeks. It seems like we are all looking into NIL with a magnifier, but ultimately, from where you sit, which is a perch that looks at college football in a broad view, has all this really changed the power structure, or has it just narrowed it?
I think at most it's narrowed it, and I would also tell you, Paul, we're only about 12 months into this thing, and I think a lot of people's reaction, there have been more overreactions about where this is all going and how it's, you know, again, slippery slope arguments and creating all kinds of dynamics that are making the haves more heavy and the have-nots less, you know, less so. I it's been a year. It's only been a year. I don't know if we can make determinations on how much of an impact this thing is having until more has played out over the last couple of years. All I know is we're heading into a season where Alabama, Ohio State are going to be really, really good. Georgia is going to be really good. Like, I mean, tell me what has changed. You know, all that's the most notable thing that has changed is a few more players have changed teams. and Texas A&M had a great recruiting class. Okay, like let's see what that means in the long run. I'm not being naive to the extent to say like nothing is going to change here, but I think like a lot of things in college sports, NIL is being framed at first as this is going to bring college sports down. It's something that turns college football into something we never wanted it to be, but I'm not sure, like a lot of other things, that's really the case.
And one other subject, Ralph, and you know, we hear various leaders talk about the separation of the Power Five from the NCAA, but you also know how difficult all this is. And while we've already been through iterations of this with the autonomy movement 7 or 8 years ago, so do you think it's possible that this thing can happen in a reasonably brief period of time, or is it going to be like everything else that college football does, and you know, meetings to resorts to tabling, just like we saw last year with the CFP expansion? They couldn't even get that done. How are they going to break the whole thing up?
Yeah, and so some of this stuff is within the context of already de-emphasizing the NCAA. So when you say, like, oh, major college football is going to break away from the NCAA, well, that's sort of happening anyway, right? I mean, the NCAA is basically becoming a little more marginalized, and we're handing off power to make rules and things like that to conferences. And quite frankly, major college football hasn't really been part of the NCAA anyway. It doesn't run the college football playoffs. So when you say break away from the NCAA, A, that's sort of happening anyway, sort of slowly. And B, I would also caution this. If that is the case, you're still going to have to create something to manage the operation that might end up looking a little like the NCAA. Which has always been the case. I've always felt a little bit of skepticism for that. But I think for legal reasons and other reasons, I think we're heading more toward that direction. But I would also, you know, again, caution that they can't just manage themselves. As we saw with the college football playoffs situation, the conferences can't just manage themselves because it just doesn't work. So you're going to have something in line to be an umbrella organization to provide some management.
Ralph Russo, hopefully one of these days, Ralph, we'll be talking about something other than this subject and about what we all love most, and those are the games. Great to have you on. You be well.
Thank you, Paul.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we are talking Tennessee and Virginia to meet. That is next year in Nashville. Got us thinking today, what about some other matchups? What would you like to see, and where would you like to see them? Getting a lot of great responses. And these are some interesting games that you'll see on the networks. This was just announced. You'll get the Georgia-Oregon game. That's probably the biggest SEC game of weekend one at 3:30 Eastern. That's on ABC. Notre Dame at Ohio State is the nighttime game. Florida State LSU, that is a Sunday night kick from the Superdome. Other games announced today, Wisconsin at Ohio State. I know that interests all of you. Texas OU will be on ABC, maybe interesting in a couple of years. Florida State, what's interesting about that? That will be on Friday night, Black Friday. Usually it's a Saturday game, but it will be in prime time. Don't know what the records of the two teams will be, but that's for the season to determine. Let's get to the calls, and you can still get in at 855-242-7285. Let's begin and check in with Ron in Ocala. Hello, Ron.
Paul, what's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
I can hear you good. The godfather of the SEC. I was going to call in and talk about the Gators and just talk about my brothers and how – they have low expectations. But I remember the conversation you was having, and I had to touch on that about Kirby Smart being like the next Nick Saban. Like, I don't understand this. And you know, humor me with this and try to explain it or cover it up, whatever you want to do with it. But how do we get to a coach that can recruit, you know, with the best of them? I've never seen his recruiting prowess is excellent. But as far as him and his X and O's and the things that he's done in the past in championship games, not only that, if it wasn't for we all saw the game last year. If it wasn't for Williams going down, Alabama had momentum. They were about to probably win that game. And then there goes your national championship, your one lone national championship. I'm just saying, I'm not taking that away from Kirby and the Bulldogs. But what I'm saying is, like, let's pump
the brakes. Hey, Ron, slow down just 1 second, okay? Yeah. You're talking about a guy in, and, I mean, his record is spectacular. Let's, for the sake of argument, give him a pass for his first year. It was a transitional year.
Okay.
And he went 8-5 and had some ups and downs. But since then, he's been 13-2, 11-3, 12-2, 8-2, and 14-1. Outside of Nick Saban.
Okay.
And Dabo Sweeney, nobody's done better in that 5-year period than that. I mean, so you can sound like a typical Florida fan or typical Alabama fan or whatever kind of fan you want to be, but you're wrong. He has been one of the 3 or 4 best coaches in the country.
Well,
quite frankly, I think he's probably the second best coach in the country today.
I hear what you're saying, but I disagree.
Well,
and the reason why I disagree with that is because he's beat up on mediocre. I mean, come on, Florida's not even awake. They have been awake. They fell asleep, and Mullen fell asleep. Come on, let's wake up. Let's not crown this guy. He's won one national championship, okay? And he won it on an injury. I'm not taking it. It's not hard for a Bulldog or for the Georgia Bulldogs, that program, to win 10, 11, 12 games a season. I'm sorry. Like, if you cannot sit here and tell me you put him at a mid-major school and he's going to be successful with his X and O prowess, and he's not going to get them 5 stars in there like that. So before I go around here talking about him being Nick Saban, let's calm down. That's all I'm saying, Paul.
I'm plenty calm, Ron. You're the one that needs to calm down and accept the reality that Kirby Smart has stolen all your lunch money. Let's get back to the calls. Check in with Dexter, who is in Birmingham. Hello, Dexter. Go right ahead.
Oh, hey. How you doing today, Paul?
Dexter.
All right, good. I just wanted to ask you a couple of quick questions. First of all, do you think Stetson Bennett will be a good pro quarterback?
No, I don't.
You don't? Ha, ha, ha. I was just wondering, because I was going to ask you then, if you did, what team you think he could play for, but you don't think he'll be a good quarterback, though.
Well, I want to listen to you why you think he would be a good NFL quarterback.
I think he'll be a good second-string quarterback, a good third-string quarterback or something. You know,
there's some people who are still not sure he's a good college quarterback, Dexter.
Huh?
I said there are still those out there who are not even sure he's a good college quarterback.
Oh, really?
Few, not many, but a few.
I thought he maybe do it because he won a national championship. I thought he'd probably probably look at him a different way,
Dexter,
now.
I'm just reacting. I'm just regurgitating what some have been saying. But hey, thank you for the call. You take care of yourself. Rob is in New Jersey, and you are on the air. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I don't know if you remember. I've called in a couple times, but called in a little couple months ago to invite you to my wedding.
Of course I remember.
And I wanted to call you today to sincerely thank you. We got your package on Friday here with an autographed photo and well wishes for me and my fiance. So, really appreciate
I remember I got that a couple weeks ago, and for those who don't remember, Rob invited us to his wedding. And by the way, I intended to come until you told me when the date was. Tell the audience when the date is.
It's October 1st, Paul. I thought I told you that on the call.
Yeah, just a perfect date to go to a wedding.
Hey, listen, my buddy who's a Georgia fan, he must have told me 10 times in the last 3 months how you know, I got to get married in the spring and the summer. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do for love, right, Paul?
Well, but I guess I'm going to ask you again. maybe you told me the previous call. What was behind the October date?
That's a good question. A nice time of year. And usually my Saturdays are spent watching football on TV. They will be that day for a little bit, so we have to go to the reception. But
now, Rob, I think I told the story that I've been to weddings in the fall. I just prefer not to go to weddings in the fall unless I – and if you had gotten married this coming weekend, I think I would have come up there for it. It's a beautiful time of the year up there.
Yeah, so we're excited. I got to I've been eyeing up the schedule, so just have to figure out how I can get a TV in church or the reception or something, so I don't miss any of the action that day.
Yeah, I mean, October 1st, it's just the minor games that day, nothing important.
LSU, Auburn,
yeah.
My wedding, couple big things.
What time is the wedding, Rob?
So the church is in the afternoon, reception starts at 5 o'clock.
And how close to Philadelphia are you?
So down there, we're getting married on the Jersey Shore. I would say from about Philadelphia, probably looking at about an hour and a half.
Okay. If for whatever reason my travels take me east, and you picked the wrong year because since COVID, I haven't done this for about 4 years. Prior to COVID, I flew up to Connecticut every Saturday afternoon, and often changed planes in Philadelphia around that time. So.
Wow, could have worked it out.
Yeah, could have had a chopper waiting for me. I could have had Springsteen's chopper and then flown me right to the shore.
Hey, we were trying to figure out here. So it says on the photo, call to Rob and Caitlin, congrats. Then has your signature and has something right above it. We couldn't make out what that said.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, if you can't read it, that's a guarantee that I wrote it. So I think I'm trying to remember. I think I just said, give it to me again.
It says on the picture, to Rob and Caitlin, congratulations. Then has two words here and has your signature. Looks like it starts with an R.
I'm guessing it's best wishes. Or
maybe that's what it looks like.
Let me assure you. I mean, there are ancient historians who could not be able to read my writing. But that's what it means. That's what it said. I'm sorry that I was less coherent in my description. You would think somebody sending a wedding gift with a signed autograph would make it clear. I was in a hurry. What can I tell you?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here on a Tuesday. Daryl up next in Georgia.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, Daryl.
Boy, marriages, man. That can be a sad event. You know what I mean?
Really? Can you? What happened to you? Have you been married?
I mean, I did it twice, you know.
I didn't know.
You've heard the story about the guy on his 20th wedding anniversary. His wife come down the stairs and she was wondering. She saw him sitting at the table and she was wondering if he would remember. And she saw tears coming down his cheek when he was sitting there with an anniversary card. And she thought, oh, how sweet, he remembers. She walked down and she asked him, said, "Honey, you all right?" And he said, "Well," he said, "you remember 20 years ago when I knotted you up and you were 17 and I was 18. Your dad pointed that shotgun right through my eyes and told me, boy, either you'll marry her or you'll spend the next 20 years in prison." She said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "Well, I would have gotten out today."
I never heard that one before.
Paul, the real reason I called is because I do not understand why I'm still reading, still hearing about skepticism regarding Kirby Smart not being a good X and O guy, not being a good in-game manager. Let me ask you this. Do you know of any other coach in his first 6 years as a head coach that not only won the national championship but played in two?
No.
Well, I don't know if there might be other ones out there, but I mean, I just don't get it. If you remember last year, Paul, at the beginning of the season, Georgia's weak point going into the season was their secondary. That was the question mark, okay? I mean, Kirby, Florida fans are out there talking about it. Well, Kirby, you know, he's just not a good day. He didn't put a good throwing up the X to the nose in the national championship game, to me. I mean, here's the deal. He leaves that up to his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator. That's their job. He oversees it all, but he lets them do their job. Look at the turnover that he's had since he's been the head coach. He's already had three assistants that are now become head coaches. And to be able to go, I think he's like 62-15, two college football game playoffs, two national championships, won one of them in 6 years. This is only the beginning, Paul. He's not a one-hit wonder. I mean, this is that defense last year, there was people that nobody ever heard of. But you heard of them, you know, that year. It's going to be the same thing this year, Paul. The same exact thing. He knows there's one thing that all college football dynasties have in common. They all recruited at the top of the level when they had a dynasty. And it's just going to be another five-star coming out of this year that nobody's heard of. Georgia's already, I heard, a two-touchdown favorite over Oregon. I would think Georgia's going to probably be in the top three when the first poll comes out. You think so?
No worse than top four.
Top four, okay. Well, I'm already favored by Vegas in every game. Mississippi State being the only game, they're not going to be a double-digit favorite. And Tennessee and Florida fans can just sit there and keep wishing and hoping all they want. But this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning. And I'm going to tell you something. I heard there was some Alabama receiver got hurt. You know what? If I remember correctly, I think that guy, Jameis, whatever his name is, he could have went back in the game. He said he could have played, but Saban didn't put him back out there. Why? Because Saban knew Georgia was going to win that football game, and Saban needed an excuse to follow. So that was a great excuse. Don't put him back out there. But it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered if he went out there. That fourth quarter was us. We shut him down. And tell me why there's still skepticism out there about Kirby Smart regarding being a good in-game manager and not a good in-game manager and not good at X and O's, because I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. Daryl, let's, you know, I mean, there have been some crazy things happen, and I think Ogeron proved that he had a perfect storm and was not capable of – I mean, Ogeron lost his job, really, before the next to the last season began when he made some ridiculous comments and he lost the locker room and he never got it back. Kirby's one of the smartest coaches I've been around. I mean, he does not make mistakes off the field. And, you know, he's made some blunders during games, but every coach has. But that national championship completely absolved him of having to ever answer another question again.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, Kirby's smartest record and track record speaks for itself. I tell you what, he took a backup quarterback that was a walk-on and won a national championship. That ought to speak volumes right there. And as far as Florida goes, them fans think whatever they want. If Kirby Smart wanted to go to Florida, they would hire his butt tomorrow. See you, Paul.
I wonder if they would. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Has a Georgia coach or a Florida coach ever gone to Georgia? Yeah, I know basketball this year. Don't bother me. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. With the off season that Southern Cal's had, I mean, your Twitter question is pretty much a layup. I would take Oklahoma versus Southern Cal next year. Maybe the location would be like a death cage match or something, or maybe Pittsburgh and Southern Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, Southern Cal hasn't made any friends this offseason at all.
And I like that. I like having Southern Cal as a feared bad boy again versus the laughingstock it was under Helton. Hey, thank you for the call. Coy is up next. Hello, Coy.
Whoa, Daryl's pretty jacked up, right?
He is.
He asked a question, what coach had been to two national championships in his first 6 years? I think Urban Meyer went to two in his first 4 years, maybe.
Well, no, and then, not as a head coach. He did that at Florida, but he had been at Bowling Green in Utah before that.
Okay. Okay, well, my apologies. I was wrong. And I do, you know,
you owe us $5 for being wrong.
Okay. the guy from Ron from Ocala, though, I don't know. You know, Kirby Smart has really elevated who he is. He's not Nick Saban.
That's the Florida mentality, that if you're a Gator, you're proud. You've had an amazing run, not lately. And you just can't accept that Georgia is better than you and Georgia is dominating you, and probably not a lot of end in sight on that either.
You never know, though. I mean, we're always capable of beating them. I've seen the 1985 game.
What is there about the Florida program that makes you think, maybe other than a one-off, that you are on the same, you are anywhere near being on the same level as Georgia?
Well, we just beat them 2 years ago. Less than that, actually.
I said other than a one-off.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that because that's not a definite for sure. But you're always one away from one coach away from recruiting and one away from getting the win.
Yeah, well, Florida hasn't been that in about 12 years.
Right? Yeah, and before that, Georgia hadn't been that way for many more.
Yeah, the problem is Kirby Smart's 46 years old.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pat is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Before we talk about Stetson Bennett, is there any truth in the story that Dan Mullen took a job as offensive coordinator at Oconee Academy in Greensboro, Georgia?
I believe that is true.
He just wanted something to do, I guess.
And I base this on having been around Mullen a couple of times in the offseason. Well, not the offseason, but before the championship game. Let me just give you direct conversations. He told me he was looking to spend a year doing something other than coaching, primarily interested in television. And he thought he would go back to coaching next year, and he told me his preference was the NFL. So I'm guessing that he didn't end up going into television, therefore he took that job. I know I'm using some deductive logic there, Pat, but that's the best I can do without having spoken to him in about 3 months.
Okay. Well, I've been to the Ritz-Carlton. It's on Lake Oconee, just outside of Greensboro.
Yeah, I believe he has a house there, Pat. I have stayed at that Ritz-Carlton, and it's did I ever tell you the story on that?
Please do.
Yeah, I was really excited. I found out we were staying at the Ritz-Carlton. Is that Reynolds Plantation? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, it is. Reynolds Plantation.
So it was the weekend, I believe, in 15 of the Alabama-Georgia game in Athens. Big game, as you may remember. Somewhat of a do-or-die for Mark Richt. So we landed, went to Athens, spent all day there, didn't get done until about 7, got to the hotel about 8:30, which in October is dark in Georgia. So I checked into the Ritz-Carlton. I understand it is a fabulous place, beautiful. We had to be on the set the next morning. I had to be there at 6:15, so I left the hotel about 4:45. I never saw the Ritz-Carlton in daylight.
Well, you missed it. They also
My wife said, "Well, because she one time she wanted to go there." I said, "Let me check it out. I'll be there this. I'll be there." And she said, "Was it beautiful?" I said, "I don't know. I never saw the lake." Yeah. I'm assuming it was there.
I know they have three fantastic golf courses.
Yeah.
They may have four. I know I've played three of them. But anyway, let's talk about Stetson Bennett for a minute because I have a conundrum. I was a big fan of Stetson last year, and he won a national championship. And I want him to do well this year. The conundrum is if he didn't go to the NFL because he wasn't going to be drafted.
No, of course not.
And COVID, the COVID situation has given him another year of eligibility, and that's happened to a lot of players, you know, almost all the players. All he's doing is muddying the water right now in the quarterback situation, and I think Georgia lost 15 players in the draft. If it's not 15, it's close to that.
It was 15.
And we don't have the team, obviously, that we had last year, and I honestly think in order to win a natty this year, we need a different quarterback.
Well, Kirby said it the other day when we talked to him that Georgia has, because I was asking him about, you know, are we seeing a paradigm shift? And he said, no, we want to put points on the board. Well, Pat, you're not going to do that to the degree that I think Kirby wants to. I agree with you, and I know it sounds harsh. I think he should have moved on and cashed in and done whatever he wanted to do, and he would have been a valuable commodity in any space that he wanted, but he decided he wanted to play football. I feel like you do, the Georgia fans are somewhat torn. Now, they may not verbalize that because no Georgia fan wants to, you know, besmirch what he accomplished, but there's so much talent behind there, and some of it will be lost if he wins the starting job.
Absolutely, and there's no doubt Kirby Smart is one of the best football coaches right now, and I put him right up there next to Nick Saban. And if Kirby wins a few more natties soon, he may be equal to or better than Saban. But Saban's just got a few more natties than Kirby has. But that's about the difference.
Pat, only six.
Yeah, only six. But, you know, that's the difference between the two coaches. Just the number of natties.
Well, let me be blunt. Kirby Smart is only one national championship closer to beating Saban's record than I am.
Well put, Paul. Well,
a long way to go, Pat. If he wins seven national championships. Well, I won't be alive to see it, so I'm going to let it go with that. Let's give him a little more time before we start. I'm the one who said I thought he was right behind Saban in terms of where we are today, but trying to say that he is in Saban's league from winning a national championship standpoint is what's a charitable way of saying short-sighted, crazy.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.